What is the ministry? Who is in it? How is ministry different from other work? And why should we focus here? In this podcast, we're looking for a biblical perspective. A ministry can refer to political or religious work. For example, the prime minister is not an archbishop, but the head of government, at least in many countries. During the 9 years I lived in the United Kingdom, I'd sometimes fail to be clear. When people learned that I was in the ministry, they would ask, which department? Ministry of Labor? Ministry of Defense? Well, since I'm an American, obviously I wasn't serving in the British government, but I was serving on the staff for the church we planted in London back in 1982. We were evangelists or preachers, interns, women's ministry leaders, and so forth. Now, before we get any deeper into this study, let me be very clear. We deeply need men and women who are willing to serve in capacity of missionaries or full-time church workers, especially people willing to move, to be flexible, and start churches from scratch. Ministry staff can play a vital role. In many places, in many cities, these men and women are overworked and underappreciated. I have the greatest respect for the talented men and women who have given up the possibility of rewarding careers, or some of them actually gave up their careers, in order to serve the Lord in this way. Well, in the first section, we're going to talk about who's in the ministry. What's the ministry will be section two, and why it matters what we call it, section three. As a new believer, I was taught that every Christian is in the ministry. Now, I was surprised because from my religious upbringing, I was never told I was in the ministry. There were three passages that were frequently referenced. This is back in the 1970s. One was 2 Corinthians 5:18 to 6:1. We find terms like ministry of reconciliation, ambassadors for Christ, God's fellow workers. The Apostle Paul does everything he can to bring in, to draw in the Corinthians and remind them that they're all in this together. Another passage was 1 Peter 2:9, where God calls his people a royal priesthood. There was no priest class in the New Testament because we're all in that priesthood. And a third passage is Luke 9:23. If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, pick up his cross daily, follow me. Okay, everyone is called to discipleship. Discipling, discipleship, being disciples, is not something for advanced believers. It's the entry level, and it's certainly not just for church staff. Strong emphasis was placed, back when I became a Christian, on total commitment. But unfortunately, that goes out the window when people have a choice between doing the work and simply spectating. I would imagine that nearly all of my readers would agree that the double standard prevalent in popular Christianity is both unhealthy and unbiblical. People come to church, they watch, they're somewhat involved or maybe not involved at all, they leave, things are anonymous, it's don't ask, don't tell. You're looking for a show. You want to hear a good message. You want some good music. That's spectating. Some believers actually start to feel very uneasy when ministry is the topic. They may feel more comfortable with the lingo of discipleship. But even so, nearly this same point would be made. Just as every true Christian is a disciple of Christ, every Christian is also in the ministry. Well, how about you? Are you in the ministry? If you want to be a Christian, you better be. Secondly, what is ministry? Can we define it? You know, if we're unable to see clearly to a biblical definition, then we don't really understand it. So can we define that word concisely, what ministry is? Unfortunately, its meaning has been obscured by well-meaning Bible translators, among others. Let's talk about the biblical words. There's a New Testament Greek word, diakonia. Diakonia means service, and one who serves, or servant, is a diakonos. Now, you may hear immediately the close connection between that and the English word deacon. And that's a hint that it's not really a full translation, because if diakonos were translated, it would be servant, not deacon. Problem with a transliteration instead of a translation is it allows the translator, the ability to make that word mean whatever he wants it to mean. Later, when the New Testament was translated into Latin, diakonos became diakonus in certain passages, like Philippians 1:1 and 1 Timothy 3:8. Again, that was transliteration. When the Latin translators took the Greek word diakonos, they should have just used a perfectly good Latin word. Well, actually, they did in some places, because in some places, the Latin New Testament uses the word minister, like Philippians 2:25, Colossians 1:1, and so forth. See, minister is a Latin word. So, back then, 1700 years ago, that was a perfectly good option because minister meant servant. But how many of us speak Latin today? How many of us think about the history and the development of the meanings of words, what the scholars called etymology? That's not the way we think. We simply read the Bible, trusting that our translators did well. Well, unfortunately, it gets even more tangled. English Bible translators sometimes render this word servant. So they have diakonos as servant. Matthew 10:28 is a good example. Sometimes minister, like in Colossians 1:7 or 1:23:4:6. And yet deacon in still other places, like Philippians 1:1 or in chapter 3, verses 8, 10, and 13. They should have just made a literal rendering, servant. In Acts chapter 6, diakonia is service. That's verse 2. But in verse 4, they call it ministry. So English translators frequently render the word for slave, doulos, as servant. Are you confused? You should be. And if you're not confused, you can be very easily. Perhaps the translators have felt beholden to traditional renderings. You know, no church leader wants to be informed that, hey, buddy, your title isn't biblical. Surely, we can agree that a bit more consistency would be helpful. No translation is perfect, and I'm simply saying that some terms, instead of being translated fully, have been transliterated, or they've been preserved in old words that no longer have their original meaning. Let me give you a more concise definition now. Ministry is service. Fuller definition, service through gifts. So let me explain. Ministry is serving, but a full or biblical ministry is not just doing things for others. Oh, let me help you. Let me shine your shoe for you or park your car. Or let me carry your bag. Even if we have a humble attitude, I think this passage may be very helpful. I'm going to read from 1 Peter 4, verse 8 to 11. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you receive to serve others, as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do it as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do it with the strength that God provides. Well, this passage is a key text for us to understand the nature of ministry. Peter reminds us that we've all received gifts from God. In most cases, of course, this happens even before we're Christians. Now, if we're not using those gifts that God gave us through our upbringing or our family or genetically and so forth, if we're not using those gifts, then you can't really call them spiritual gifts, can you? A spiritual gift needs to be one that's used spiritually. Peter also shows that we are to minister to others using these gifts. The gifts are not for private exercise, but for corporate benefit. It's all about other people, not look at me, or discover me, aren't I talented? And Peter distinguishes two categories, speaking gifts and service gifts. Speaking gifts are things like teaching. Service gifts, well, his specific example here is hospitality. And it's true that at times gifts may fall into both categories at the same time. I mean, leadership is, in a sense, not just speaking, but also service. So let's put it succinctly. A compact definition of ministry emerges, serving others through our speaking and service gifts. Now, if you combine this simple insight with the conclusion in part one about ministry personnel, let's circle back to the issue of ministry lingo and its impact on church life. So what we've seen, everyone's in the ministry, one, and two, ministry is serving others through our gifts of speaking and and service. Okay, number three, why does it matter what we call it? Well, since everyone's in the ministry, every member of the body of Christ has something to offer. Now, before I go on, I want you to know I'm not trying to awkwardly imply that everyone's a leader, church decisions should be a free-for-all, anything's up for grabs. Well, we all have influence, and good leadership structures listen to everybody, and I'm not suggesting that leadership structures should be disassembled. There's always some kind of structure. Even if you said we have none, there's always a kind of an ordering, a prioritizing of people based on their gifts, agendas, and so forth. Well, there are many scriptures on leadership, and surely we need more, not fewer, men and women willing to lead. And again, I don't want to quibble about words. I'm not trying to quibble. But ministry, and I put that in inverted commas, ministry is often shorthand for the ministry of the word, as in Acts 6:4. That is, those who devote themselves to spreading the word, to taking the word to their communities, to beginning new works in other places. Now, in this sense, I was in the ministry for 20 years, although since 2003, I've been a freelance teacher. And yet, in another way, I've never stopped being in the ministry since I became a Christian over 40 years ago. Now, is it wrong to use the term when referring to church staff workers? No, because they certainly have a ministry and they're in the ministry. Here's what's wrong: using that term exclusively of those on staff. And that often shows itself by demeaning references to others as non-ministry people. Now, here's why it matters. Doers and spectators, that's not a biblical model of discipleship. When it comes to discipleship, there's only one tier, not two. One level. The clergy-laity division has been a horrible problem afflicting church culture since at least the 3rd century. And it's directly related to declining standards of commitment, clergy and laity. Laity, from the Greek word laos, the people, as opposed to kleros, the lot. And the clergy were the ones, for example, in Judaism or in pagan religions, who divined God's will, perhaps by casting lots or a form of figuring out the future. So, doers and spectators is not a biblical model. Clergy-laity is not only an unhealthy doctrine, it's been a perennial problem throughout church history. Thirdly, it's inherently elitist. I mean, either you're ministry material or you're not. Whereas biblically, everyone has ministry, and all the parts of the body are important. Ministry lingo discourages others who want to be used, but who may never be in the fortunate position of being able to devote their full time to this, of making their living from the gospel. Leaders who call themselves minister, yet who do not view others as being in the ministry, are often frustrated that the church has become a body of spectators. But is it any wonder when they've created or condoned this two-tier discipleship model? They call themselves ministers, and they don't actually expect others to be ministers. The truth is, we enter the ministry when we become Christians. If we've left the ministry, then we're not truly following Christ. We need to get everyone on board. There's far too much work to do to leave it to a handful of professionals. Well, I may be singing to the choir. If you know all this and you've known this, and perhaps this has been your theme for years. For others, though, this is a disturbing message, and it may make some leaders feel threatened because, well, they want to be needed. Well, the truth is, everyone's needed. And there's a place for everyone to use his or her gifts in the church, in ministry, but it's not something for professionals. So let's wrap it up in summary. One, who is in the ministry? Every Christian, whether on church staff or not. Second, what is ministry? Serving others through using our gifts. And why is the language important? Because inaccurate terminology reinforces wrong theology, and that compromises the spiritual health of the church and of the individual Christian. Let's believe this, let's use biblical terms, and let's stop using language that divides and separates and creates an elite, that creates a system of doers and spectators, for that is certainly not the will of Jesus Christ.